5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the He Gone Podcast, man. Episode 8. The guys are here. Of course, it's your boy, yours truly, at Barbershop Scott on Twitter and Instagram. We got Mikey. We got Dante in the building. You know you can follow them at OctoberZoneTay on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Mikey at Junior_Salito on Twitter and Instagram, man. How y'all doing, man? We a couple hours away, about 48 hours away from opening day. How we feeling?
Man, you know, like, at this point, I've decided to, well, obviously, I'm going to complain today because that's what we do on this motherfucker, but I'm ready to rock. Like, we know this team got a lot of potential, and so I'm really ready to see what they can do.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with you, man. I'm a little bit more excited. Friday, I get to work from the crib, so I just got to map out what the meal is for the pregame meal, but I'm going to be here, man, watching all 9 innings. Let's see, man. We got the Tigers out the gate, so.
Out the gate. My pregame meal is going to be water. I got to go to the fucking doctor's appointment. So I got a doctor's appointment. So if it's not a delayed, I'm going to miss like the first 3, maybe 4 innings. You know how you go to a doctor's appointment and they be like 10 o'clock, but you don't ever really see the doctor until like 10:45 or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Like, what's the fucking point of an appointment if I got to fucking still wait?
If you're missing the first 3 to 4 innings, that's good. That means you got about 3 hours, because
right, exactly.
You know how that shit goes.
But we'll see how it goes, man. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go. You know, I know the Bulls gonna be done in 2 weeks, so I was glad to have this up. You know, if we had our little back and forth with one of the Cubs fans, shout out to Ola Ortiz on Twitter. We always go back and forth about them. And I was like, of course you upset, bro, because the Bulls about to go home and you got to convince yourself the Bears going to win 6 games. You ain't got nothing to watch all summer. I'd be mad, too, if I had to watch fucking Rafael Ortega for the next 6 months.
Bro. Yeah, now them niggas have been very annoying, because like the homies hit me up after that spring training game acting like Nick Madrigal was about to turn into Jeff Kent or some shit. And I'm like, you know, that's like, these games don't count. This shit does not matter, bro. Like,
yeah. you know, they don't got shit to fucking look forward to when they talking about, oh, that's all the White Sox got for Kimbrel. What you talking about, man? You got somebody that's my height, that's the one home run you're going to see all year. And Cody Hoyer, he on the eye. You ain't not going to see him till next year.
I mean, it's the same guys who thought they were going to get Andrew Vaughn for Craig Kimbrel last year, too. Remember that?
Or Kopech.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, so, you know, but we're going to keep them on the back burner. If you want to listen to any Cubs shit, listen to Pierce when he talks about that bullshit on 40-40. But we are here and talk about real baseball, the White Sox. We're going to get y'all ready for the beginning of the season. We're going to preview the first 3 series later in the show. But let's talk about what we were talking about when we left off a couple weeks ago. When we did our first episode, we were talking about where's going to be the outfielder. And we were trying to convince ourselves about Andrew Vaughn. Well, the White Sox have found their right fielder. AJ Pollock has been traded to the White Sox, I think it was last Saturday, for Craig Kimbrel in a straight-up deal. And I think the Dodgers are paying Craig Kimbrel's remaining contract, which is big. My opening thoughts on this, as somebody who lives in the L.A. market, I have watched a ton of Dodger games. I fucking love this move. Now, of course, you know, they could have got an Austin Meadows who went to Detroit. There were other options, but for what was out there, I love the move. The biggest question mark, of course, is going to be A.J.'s health. A.J. Pollock loves getting injured. He hasn't played that much in right field, but at least he's an actual outfielder. And I think that'll help a lot. And his bat, he's offense. He's going to bring offense. This is a guy who had 21 homers last year, had a pretty good season, had a good postseason as well. He had a good postseason in the year they won that championship in the bubble. So I think that's going to be able to translate him for a guy who's probably going to be a seventh or eighth hitter. And just to give him straight up for Kimbrel, I didn't think we was going to get that much for Kimbrel. I thought it was a phenomenal trade, and I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Not often do you see a GM come out and say, yeah, somebody's you know, outright after the end of the season just saying, yeah, you know, we would like to move Craig Kimbrel. And, you know, to actually be able to, you know, get somebody in return that feels a need, you know, at right field. You know, kudos to Rick Hahn, man. I love the move. I text y'all when it went down. AJ Pollock is naturally a center fielder. Yeah. You play center field, you can play all three outfield positions. So that's right. Good. You know, we got somebody, you know, capable out there in right field. And we all know that right field is probably the easiest out of the three. You know, yeah. growing up, they normally threw the weakest person in right field.
Yeah.
You know? So what he brings defensively, what he brings offensively with this batter, like you said, he's probably going to be a seventh, eighth hitter, and that lengthens, you know, your lineup. That just makes everybody ahead of him, more dangerous.
Have outfield depth now. They have a lot of outfield depth.
Yeah. A lot of outfield depth, especially because, like you said, he does have his injury concerns. So now you feel a little bit more comfortable if Adam Engel has to spell him. You know, you can throw Lurie out there, you know, a game, once every 13 games. So, I'm impressed with the move. You know, it rarely do you see a move work out for both clubs. Dodgers needed a closer. You know, they got Kimbrel back. Hopefully he can figure it out, you know, over there for them, but that's no longer our issue. Right. We got AJ Pollock and, you know, let's go from there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like the move. I think it's mainly because he's an outfielder. I think the biggest thing is that we were doing this platoon in first baseman in right field. And, you know, that's just a very unserious move. I think this is still like a low budget move, but it was one that actually made sense compared to the other little ticky-tack moves we made this offseason. And so for me, my main thing about the move that I really liked was the fact that he is a natural outfielder. He provides some power. You know, a lot of people are shaky about the fact that last year was probably, you know, statistically his best season, and, you know, having that at what, 31, 32, however old he is. But right now, what we just need is a solid outfielder. And that's what he is. He's I just pulled it up. I think he's a 3 WAR player. So he's, you know, just about – he's solid. That's exactly what we need, somebody who's solid, who can play the outfield and provide another bat in that lineup.
And if you'd have told us, like, in the next season, oh, you'll have A.J. Pollock out there in right field, we'd all been happy about that. So.
Hell yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, I still would have preferred – there were
better options, obviously. Yeah.
There were better options in free agency and, you know, like – you know, like D said, like, it is still a low budget move. You know what I'm saying? They still cutting corners. I would have preferred a left-handed corner outfield bat, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still think we're so right-handed dominant, because more than likely, now you can afford to give Andrew Vaughn as many as bats as he needs in the DH spot, you know? So we're going to be super right-hand dominant. You know, I would have loved Austin Meadows. Like I had said it, you know, he was one of the guys early in, like, December that I was like, I think he could be had. But you got to remember who that, you know, what organization he came from, the Tampa Bay Rays. They're not about to pay Craig Kimbrel that money. They don't do that, you know? So it is what it is. I like AJ Pollock, man. And like we said, man, we got an actual competent outfielder. We got an actual, and I said this before, we got a veteran. We got a veteran with a World Series. Yep. And we got Josh Harrison. We added two veterans with a World Series to our everyday lineup. We added Joe Kelly, who has a World Series. I think he might got two of them. You know,
Cueto got one too.
You know, so like we added a veteran presence to this lineup, and they need that. You know, they need that because the guys are still young. You know,
Hey,
just real quick. I know we're gonna get into Cueto a little. Matter of fact, I'll save it for later when we talk about Joey.
Okay, John. I was just gonna say with Pollock is like, and one thing I love about Pollock, even when he's not hitting homers, he gets contact. You know, ground balls was a huge problem for this team last year. Really, last couple years, the White Sox have been a notorious ground ball team. Like, it'll annoy the shit out of you. He's not a ground ball type player. He gets contact. He gets on base. And he was one of those guys in the postseason last year, really since he's been with the Dodgers, who's always come up with a clutch hit. always come up with a clutch hit. And I think that's going to pay off tremendously for this team. And then, you know, even he said when he was introduced to it, he said, you know, being traded is rough. He said, but it's cool when you're going to a team that's as good as the White Sox. You know, and on paper, I think the only lineup who I would probably put over us would probably be the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? That's probably the only lineup I would put over the White Sox. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, and it was like the White Sox on paper have like 6 or 7 guys who convinced me going to have 20 home runs each this year. Yeah. That's how deep his lineup is. I'm really excited about that. And Mikey, we was talking about, and you know, earlier in the year, we like really when the offseason ended, you were talking about defensive catchers, you know, about putting Yaz at DH more. And we had a move. The Zach Collins era is officially over. He has been traded to the Toronto Blue Jays for Reese McGuire. Now, you can't ignore the elephant in the room when it comes to Mr. McGuire here.
Yeah,
like you filthy motherfuckers
in public. Okay,
a nasty now, boy, man.
Yeah, he's a nasty type of guy. But on the baseball field, I love this signing because he's a really good defensive catcher, and that's all you need. And I even did more research on him about you know his defensive stats and things that he was doing in Toronto, and that's going to play out perfectly for this. That we can put Yaz and DH more, give him, you know, more of a rest on the knees. And he has a decent bat, which is something that, yes, Sebi was a decent defender, but he didn't have a bat. And he is a great framer, which is going to help us out tremendously. That's one thing that Yaz wasn't the best with framing. You know, I think it's something we lost a lot with James McCann going over to the Mets. But I like the signing, man. It's another good depth signing, depth piece for Rick Hahn.
Yeah, and it was weird to me because, speaking of Yaz, because like when we signed him, that was one of the things he was known for was his, you know, his framing. Exactly. But that it fell off the map when he got to Chicago. And then like we saw in the playoffs, bro, we had one series. The Astros were running on us at will. You know, it got to a point where it was like you knew they were going to steal and there's still nothing they could do about it. Like managers, like, and when we get to the playoffs, managers like a Dusty Baker, guys who have been in the game, they're gonna utilize everything they can to take to beat you. And so getting a guy behind the plate who gives us a defensive presence, that's something that we really needed. And like you said, Mikey G, you were the first person who I heard mentioning it, but like, that makes perfect sense because now you can give Yaz those days off and you just hit, bro. Just stay off your knees and do your thing.
Exactly. And then that's where depth comes into play. Yeah. Now is where like, no, now we're, you know, we might be too deep at every position, you know, because now you add Josh Harrison, Leury could play second. Josh could play second. Josh could slide over and play third. Leury could play third. Give Moncada days off. There's going to be days where Moncada might DH. Now you're going to be able, you know, for an injury riddled team. And we're going to get into that, you know, we're going to get into that later. But for a team that has had injuries to their core players the last few seasons, when trying to build something, now we're able to give guys days off and they're not going to be a significant drop off. I was screaming for a defensive catcher the whole time, you know, because I'm sitting there and I'm just watching.
You were saying it during the series.
I was saying it right there. And I'm like, we need the two things I said we needed was we needed veterans that have been there before that can, you know what I'm saying, that could get the guys and kind of whip them in shape. And you know, we're starting to see now that the TA and Josh Harrison has kind of been a mentor to him, you know, over the years. That's what we need. And we needed a defensive catcher. We needed somebody that, you know, he might not be Yadier Molina, where he's going to, you know, where there's a high percentage chance that you're going to get fucking gunned down. But somebody that make it respectable. Like, I don't know how kind many like times. Kind of like
Maldonado.
And I don't know how many times people have run on us. And then that, you know, now you're involved and you're giving, you know, the opponent the ability to do so many things. They get the run, hit and run. You get guys out in motion. A single, depending who's running on first, and they might score, you know. So everything counts, especially in the game of baseball. So I like this move. I believe he's a lefty, isn't he? I believe he's a lefty from...
Yeah, I think he's a lefty.
And it works out. It's another deal that works out for both teams. I mean, both guys were out of options. They're both really first-round picks for their respective franchises that kind of haven't lived up to the hype. I was over Zach Collins. We knew what it was. So, you know, I like it. We got better there as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like we were all like, man, what the fuck is Rick Hahn doing? And he just came out with like a flurry of moves at the last minute, man. So I like that one. And this next signing that we're gonna go over, this kind of ties into the injury thing that we're gonna talk about with Lance Lynn being out for 6 to 8 weeks. Tremendous blow. It's like we just can't get out of spring training a lot. When this week, I was like, man, just please, let's just get out of spring training with no injury. So I'm glad that Eloy and Luis are on the plane to Detroit and not on the IL. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Lance is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And we were talking about the pitching depth, which we'll get into in a minute. But now the White Sox signed Johnny Cueto. And Mike, you put it in the group chat earlier, like, yo, this would be a good signing. He's an innings eater. And it's like, as soon as you said that, it's like things picked up. This is a late night signing. You know, I was only awake because I was on the West Coast, and I was only who was
right. Up. You said, yeah. I think you said that. I woke up, I saw it at like 4 a.m., and I was like, maybe I'm dreaming this shit because I've been speaking it in the group chat.
Yeah,
I'm telling everybody, I'm like, man, go just get Johnny Cueto. Then I remember, like around like 10 o'clock and 10 a.m., nobody responded to you. You sent the gift, like, yo, what's up? Nobody gonna read.
I was like, by the time I wake up, they probably be talking about, I'm like, oh, so we just not gonna address this move.
Yeah, because so. It's shit, usually the other way around. We usually exactly. Talking in the morning, and
I wake up like about 7 to use the bathroom. When I got like 10 text messages, I'm like, yeah, they probably talking about some move. I'm like, I'll check it out when I know what planet I'm on right now. So,
but no, it's a good signing, man. I mean,
yeah,
he was 7 but, you know, to get that at this point of the camp, you know what I'm saying? To get that going into this year, you know, going into this week, you know, he's gonna ramp up in Charlotte. You know, he has been throwing, so I would assume that we see him probably on the series, the third series of the season, the Rays.
Yeah, we got Tony two games with them. I don't think it's gonna be long at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I like that. I mean, he had like 125 innings last year.
But yeah, I got it right here. It was he went 7-7, 4.08 ERA, 114 innings, 98 strikeouts.
I want to say he had a streak last year because the degeneracy in me. I'm watching, you know, NL West baseball. And I know he had some games against the Dodgers where he was pushing a one-hitter, no-hitter into the seventh, eighth. Yeah.
He was balling. Yeah. I tell people, I watch a shit ton of Dodger games because, you know, in the summer, don't be nothing on. The Dodgers the only niggas on. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I watch the Dodgers. And there was a lot of – he was mowing them niggas down. Like, Johnny Cueto is the – you need, like you said, you need innings eaters. That's exactly what he's going to do. It's not going to be flashy. I don't need him to be Kansas City – Johnny Cueto, just hold it down for 2 months until Big L get back, and then if he's really good, then you don't have to worry about Dallas Keuchel. If let's just say he overperforms, then you can cut Keuchel.
Well, yeah, you can, or you can lengthen it. You can go with, which I think you're gonna have to go with. You're gonna have to possibly go with like a 6-man rotation. This is gonna be a wonky start to the season just because guys' arms aren't built up, you know. And if they are built up, now we're starting to see those lower extremity injuries, and we're starting to see, you know, guys already starting to take those battle wounds. So I think we're not going to see a lot of pitchers going deep. I don't think we're not going to see anybody throwing 100 pitches early. You're going to see a lot of 5-inning outings twice around the lineup. And depending how it's going, depending where that pitch count is out, you know, now it's a bullpen game. So I like that, you know, with Johnny Cueto, you know, what we were saying, we just need somebody to get us 5-6, realistically, in the back of the rotation, you know. Get into the pen. Get into the
Aaron Bummer.
get us to the one part of the team where they've consistently invested in over the last year and a half. They've consistently tried to upgrade the pen. Dante, I said it on the last episode. You got some flamethrowers, and that's the strength of that. I would say that's probably the strength of our team. The bullpen, bullpen is solid. So we just need Johnny to get us there. We're gonna probably see some Vince Velasquez. Not excited about that.
It might be an opening home opener starter.
I need a rain out. Imagine
playing first game with his home, and you get to see Vince Velasquez throw 3 innings.
Man, that's just work.
Yeah, but no, this shit is actually. I agree. I really don't mind the Johnny signing because it actually plays into our favor because I think our team is built for those 4-inning, 5-inning starts right now with the depth we have in our bullpen. So, you know, as much as we've shitted on the moves they made, it actually may play into our favor with the injuries we have right now. And like you said, if he overperforms, which I think is possible because, you know, we've seen that he is a guy who can be reliable like that. I'm not – it takes me – my worry about Velasquez off the table. Because me personally, I think a guy like Ronaldo Lopez is going to be big for us this year. And when we made this signing for Johnny, the one person I thought about was in 05 when we signed El Duque.
Yeah.
Like, that type of feel.
El Duque is a god in Chicago.
That type of feel, that wonky vet, you know what I'm saying? But like you say, had World Series experience. You bring him to the club, and now, you know what I'm saying, he's coming in with, you know, it's really low risk, high reward because he has no expectations. He was at the crib on his ranch a couple weeks, you know, a couple days ago. So,
and he was waiting for a situation like this. He was just waiting to see, you know what? I'm a veteran. I've been there before. He probably doesn't think he needs to go through that full spring training. And he's not gonna come out of, you know, Santo Domingo, you know, DR to go play for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was waiting for a team that, you know, so I think it works out, you know, and we're going to need it, man, because, you know, Lynn went down. That's 6 to 8 weeks. I'm going to side with 8 weeks if you're just being
realistic. I think first week of June.
And, you know, that's 4 weeks off of his legs, not doing anything. He's going to have to get that back right. And that's 4 weeks of just of a quiet arm, you know, so he's going to have to, you know, ramp up that throwing session again. And I'm going to tell you right now, like with this compacted season, like, you know, with everything starting late, there are no days off. No. Like baseball is already crazy. I'll tell you right now, April, we start April 8th. They play 21 games in the month of April with only 2 days off.
Yeah. They got the 11th and the 25th off. That is.
Yes. Then they go into May. There's 27 games in May, only 4 days off. And it's like the 5th, the 19th, and then like the 23rd and the 30th. So we're gonna need the staff to not shit the bed right away, because injuries to a pitching staff can derail a whole season from the jump. I don't care who you got offensively. We've seen it with the Yankees. We've seen it with plenty of teams. Injuries, which you know, to your starting pitchers, can derail everything. So the Cueto signing is good, but there's just an added pressure on Kopech. There's added pressure on Dylan Cease. You know, I know we were talking about it when the news came out that Gerald Casey is going to undergo Tommy John surgery. I know, Scott, you were like, you know, it really didn't move anything for you. But I can see what you were thinking of, because
I was thinking pre-Lance Lynn injury.
You're thinking pre-Lance Lynn injury. And you're just
situational guy.
Right.
Nobody's really talking Garrett Crochet. We know he's there. He's an X factor. But, you know, in my mind, I'm looking at everything, you know, from the full scope. So many games in the first two months. They were going to bridge him into that Kopech role. You know, like, they might have not needed to make a move for Johnny Cueto if Garrett Crochet didn't get hurt. Like, let's be realistic, because Garrett Crochet was going to start being stretched out as that sixth guy, that Kopech role, come in and pitch 3-4 innings, slide over to the bullpen, give you guys a break. So, you know, that's big. That's big to start the season, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially when Lynn goes down. So, you know, let's hope everything works out, man.
I know Dante wanted to say something. Before we get to that, I just want to say, this wasn't on the rundown, but what grade would y'all give of Hine for this offseason? Now, of course, it's going to be trade still going on in the first couple weeks. But I give him a B minus.
We were at a D.
I say B minus because he filled the holes that need to be filled, but it was still in a very White Sox way. So that's why I can't give him the full B plus. But I give him a B minus. You know, you got you a little 83. You know,
I gotta go C minus, because I mean, like you said, I'm still
C minus. You still okay? Yeah,
because just off the strength that look at the bridge you spent, and again, it could all work out because health permitting, this is a very good ball club. So I'm not going to shit on
Ryan's gonna tell you this is the third highest payroll in MLB.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you but look at how much further below you are everybody else.
Exactly, because like somebody did a breakdown of how all of the bread we spent. We could have still spent the 25 for Simeon, got a reliever, and still probably got another one of the, you know, marginal dudes we picked up. So I got to go C minus because, like, at the end of the day, you came in and you got your people in the media carrying your water saying, oh, we looking for a Marcus Semien and Robbie Ray type and all of that shit.
Which I think every White Sox fan with a brain knew that was
Yeah. happen. But yeah, I think this is the offseason because we keep saying, all right, this is the year to push for the World Series. But this is more than anything. Reality is really set in for a lot of White Sox fans. Yo, like we said on the first episode, the biggest contract we've given out is 4 years, $74 million. Like, yeah, so let's stop with these fantasy scenarios. Yeah. Where we're gonna grab bro, they're gonna go get him. No, the fuck we not. Bryce was basically gift wrapped. He was like, yo, I want to play in the blue.
I don't even think it was Bryce. They fumbled Manny. Manny was gift wrapped.
Yeah, well, both
he
really
wanted that extra yeah, 25 million.
They signed all of it. They signed his like, brother-in-law, his cousin, yeah. his best friend, like, okay, his next-door neighbor.
And then decided to go incentives.
Million. Yeah, we're getting 25 million more in incentives. Like, he's not fucking Manny Machado. Like, come on,
already
dog.
Earned that 25 million.
Yeah, dog.
Like, idiotic, bro.
Manny
but
might
yeah,
be
I got
slightly
C-.
Slight bozo, but he can fucking play ball. Like, you know, Manny yeah. can play ball. But yeah. What would be your ranking for him, Mikey?
I probably got to piggyback off Dante, man. I'd probably give him like a C+. If you take everything from the whole scope, you got to look at it from the whole angle. You got to look at it from how the season ended and what were the warts, you know, what were the positions that needed to be filled. You got to look at the talk of, okay, now we're in this window. Last year it was championship this. We want to win a championship. I haven't heard that shit this year, to be honest. I don't think I've heard Rick Hahn say anything
Rick Hahn,
about a championship.
Rick Hahn did say in the opening press conference spring training, I think he said anything less than the championship for this year would be unacceptable. Something to that effect.
Okay, so that's yeah. true. So then why are you shopping at the thrift store? You know,
this is the thing, and we talk about this all the time, and I think we all agree with this. I don't think Rick is the problem. I think he knows.
Yeah, it could be Jerry.
That the old man said, this is how much you're going to pay. Like, I think Rick, yeah. for the budgets he be getting, does a pretty damn good job. Yeah. If Rick had, if like Magic Johnson them tell the Dodge Jocks, whatever the fuck y'all want, if he had that, I would think, I don't think Manny Machado would be wearing a Padre uniform if that was the case. Yeah. I really don't.
I feel you.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would say like a C+, just because we did get better at key areas. But it's like the tier of player that we, yeah. you know, that we got better from. It was, you know, it wasn't like of the, we weren't shopping at, you know, at Saks Fifth. You know, we were still shopping at Sears to get Josh Harrison, yeah. and, you know, and AJ Pollock, that's a good move. Like the fact that we were able to get, I thought with moving Kimbrel, we were gonna get probably like a triple A, you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
or even like a triple A starter that could potentially come up like a middle reliever, somebody like that. I didn't think we were gonna actually get. You know, I know AJ Pollock. We know AJ Pollock. AJ Pollock's yeah. not a big deal with the Dodgers. Dodgers coming from the Diamondbacks. He played on, you know. It just so happened the Dodgers are so deep, there's no room for him. There's no,
yeah, they
don't.
They yeah. can afford losing AJ Pollock. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
They got Cody Bellinger batting eighth.
A former MVP.
Yeah, Cody's doo-doo now, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, because
of Cody. I would have loved Cody. I would have
yeah,
loved Cody.
That's what I was hoping. I was hoping that we could have worked something out and got Cody, but I think they're going to give him another shot,
yo,
rightfully
these white
so.
People out here love yeah. him, Cody Bellinger.
Boy. Oh, yeah.
I see a Bellinger jersey on every goddamn. I see more Bellinger yeah. Jersey than Mookie.
I believe that.
I don't.
Another thing I'll say, another reason I gave him a C- is because he may have dug himself out of the hole. But he dug that motherfucker deeper yeah. before we started. Like you didn't have to pick yeah. up Kimbrough's option. That would have been an extra $16 million for you to play with. You know what I'm saying?
Rodon's contract.
Yeah, Rodon's contract. So yeah. we missed the opportunity to at least get the pick back. You know what I'm saying? At least offer him, even if you don't want him back, bro. So you can get the pick. But so you do that, and so that's why I say, yeah, I'm glad we got Pollock. You got Harrison. I think Harrison is going to be a big upgrade at second, especially defensively.
I really like that signing. I know a lot of people. But when I thought about this roster, Marcus Semien never even came to my head. Like, we let the nigga walk to fucking begin with. I was like, so I definitely didn't think he was going to come.
You telling me we got to do that with Frankie Montas? Just get it out of our head.
I won't say that. But I'll say, I think that if there's still a good chance it would happen. I think the closer we get to All-Star, and by the way, the trade deadline is August 1st this year. Yeah. So probably uh-huh. like, you know, end of July, I believe that there'll be another deal. I think where Rick is going to assess what happened in this first half, what he can do. So I'm gonna say Frankie Montas is out of the realm of possibility. But when I saw Marcus Semien, I'm like, he's not gonna play. Even if he did, they're gonna make him, he gonna overcharge him for what he did to the Cold Crush, letting him walk any fucking way. You know, Boris was gonna be like, all right, you gotta pay extra. So I wasn't expecting that much, and I always felt like with second base, it didn't need to be something extraordinary. Like Lurie can play a lot of positions, but he's really bad at second base. Like he was not good defensively. So I'm like, Harrison is great defensively, and that's gonna help out that double play. How many double plays did we see that Nick Madrigal fucked up last year? TA got the ball off, he throwing the ball slower than the motherfucker, or Lurie fumbles the ball. We've seen that many fucking times. That's not gonna happen with Harrison now.
But you know what that is too, and you know what that is, because that second base is a position I play high school, college. You know what that is there's a difference of receiving that ball from second base when Lurie's a natural shortstop.
Yeah.
So you know, so when Lurie is not getting consistent reps at second base, you know, like that. You receive the ball, and now you forget your positioning. You know, like, that's all reps. So they had Lurie in second base. Lurie was playing four different positions in a four-game series.
Yeah.
You know, Lurie's playing third to spell Mankata. He was playing second. Some days he's playing short. Then they got him in right field. So playing
third sometimes.
You know, so like you said, now we got somebody there that could start. We play 162 games. Josh could start 140 games, 130 games.
And he got a little prop.
Yeah, he got a little pop. So building that consistency, like you said, we got to get cleaner on defense, man. There's so many double plays, so many easy routine plays that end up killing us. And, you know, next thing you know, you give up a 2-3 spot and you got to come back from behind.
Yeah, just fundamental shit, man. So let's get into the pitching, which is about the injuries. I'm going to give it to you, Dante, to start off. But let's talk about the Lynn Crochet injuries. And then once we talk about, will be our concern level on a scale of 1 to 10 for the starting rotation. But Dante, what was your take on Crochet like that you said you had?
Well, with me, like, this was a big loss for me because I'm in the same line as Mikey, where I think this was the year where he really took that step that Kopech took, where you had him doing openers, you had him coming in to pitch 2 or 3 innings, you know, really shortening the game for our starters. I think he was going to be a guy who really ramped up. And I know a lot of people, because he got drafted during the COVID season, a lot of people don't remember, like, just the hype around him when he was coming out. But he was, you know, he's been slated as a starting pitcher. So that's why I know we've handled him with the kid gloves the same way we did Kopech, especially after he got I think he strained his forearm against the A's. When they pulled him out. And, you know, and low-key, this – you never glad somebody gets Tommy John. We haven't seen that velocity since that series. Like, we haven't seen him hitting 101, 102 since that series. So, you know, getting the Tommy John now, it sucks for his development. But I think in the long run, it'll help him out because, you know, we could see get that reset on his arm that a lot of pitchers get.
Yeah, and he like you say, he got drafted during the COVID year in June. He was starting a playoff game for us a couple months later. He hasn't even had a natural, you know, a natural camp. Because then, you know, the very next year, last year wasn't really a natural camp. It was condensed. I believe they were playing in their little bubbles in Schaumburg, everything, you know. So it sucks for him. I'm a big Gerrit Crochet guy because, like everybody, you know, like Dante said, man, he was coming out of college. He's a starter. He's not, you know, he's not a middle reliever. He can be a weapon in the back of the bullpen if you're so lucky to have your 1-5 already locked down, you know,
right.
But he was tabbed to be a future starter for us. And, you know, that's a big loss. The Lance Lynn injury is a big, big loss for us. I mean, I was trying to do the math before, but you know, that's about 8 weeks. That's probably about 6-7 starts, you know, that's about 6-7 starts missed.
it's a big one. Like, and with the Crochet thing, when I was in the group chat, like, I didn't really bother me at the time because when I thought about, of course, pre-Lance Lynn injury, I'm thinking there's not really going to be a need for him to be in that little, you know, knee innings up. Because I always felt like even without Lynn, I felt like a signing him with Cueto, like Cueto was needed regardless if Lance Lynn was got hurt or not. I just felt like you needed another veteran in that rotation. And then last year, when I think about the bullpen, I can't really name how many moments Crochet had. There was a lot of times Crochet be up there and he has a good inning and then he can't find the fucking strike zone. So it's like I wasn't really thinking about him when I'm thinking about the the pitcher for the 2022 season. I'm thinking Liam. I'm thinking Joe Kelly, Aaron Bummer, you know, guys like that, Graverman. I'm not even thinking. So I'm like, yeah, if he reached his potential, that's the cherry on top. But it didn't really feel like a necessity to me at the time. Now, with Lynn's injury, that changes my tune a little bit. You need as many arms as you can get, and that hurts. And like you said, Dante, I think Tommy John is going to help him in a long scheme, grand scheme of things. You've seen pitchers have done really well after they had Tommy John. Some people are like, you actually need to just get that shit over with. Yeah, just let it happen.
It's not a death sentence anymore. Yeah. You know, like how ACLs were for Hoopers back in the day. Like, yep. Now they come back stronger.
Half of them get it in high school now. So, like, shit is definitely different. And, like, he did.
Yeah.
And my last thing about Crochet before we keep it moving, another reason, and this is not more so about the Cubs, but about who we passed over to take Crochet. We passed over Ed Howard. Mm. Like, we took Crochet, and I think Ed went 2 or 3 picks later. So, we had the potential to take him. And I think Ed's going to be a star. So, like, I think when you look at who we passed over for that, like, this is somebody who I'm really interested in his development.
Yeah.
But you know, I could see that too. I thought we were gonna take him, but I could see Rick Hahn's thinking of, all right, we're starting to get into this window.
Majority of guys are up.
We don't really got a need for Ed Howard. Like Colson Montgomery, he's projected like 2025 to come up. We draft him. If he kills down there, that's fine. We got somebody in the wing. We got a trade chip. I think that's what Ed Howard was really going to be. Garrett Crochet, like we said, he was pitching for us in August. Yeah. Drafted in June, pitching for August. I remember my mom saying, like, who is this big kid with the pants that look like floods? And I'm just like, we actually just drafted him. She's like, what do you mean? He just came from college? And I'm like, yeah, like two months ago. So.
Like, he always kind of remind me a little bit of, like, Jack McDowell when he be up on the mound. Like, he kind of got that. And he got the Randy Johnson hype. You know what I'm saying? So, I think he has a big ceiling. I just didn't see how it would factor into this season. But with this, it really hurts. It really hurts that you've got both of them guys hurt. And that goes to starting rotation. We've been talking about this for the last couple of days in the group chat. You know, Mike, you're very concerned about the starting rotation. I'm concerned about it, too. The thing I was trying to get across in the group chat was not about the specific White Sox rotation. I'm just saying, like, if I look at the entire AL, I think the White Sox can afford to not have the deepest rotation because outside of Toronto, I don't really know who has a great rotation in the American League. Like,
I looked at it again in Houston,
but Verlander's got questions.
You know, Verlander's got, well, yeah, he's coming back. You got Urquidy, you got Framber, you got the one. Is it?
They still got McCullers.
Well, McCullers got hurt.
He got hurt. Yeah.
He got hurt against us that last game when Dusty brought him in. I would say between those two and then everybody else, I think everybody else in the AL got like three. You know, like us. Yeah. I would say
like we got three.
I would say we got three when we have Lynn. You know, but like with Lynn. I was
just talking about this. Shout out my homie Lotto. I just came from lunch with him, and we were talking about the X Factor for the White Sox. And we all agree, Dylan Cease is the X Factor. If Dylan Cease finally is a Dylan Cease's biggest issue is he don't have a knockout punch. If Dylan Cease can knock niggas out quicker instead of extending at bats, that will change everything. Because, like, Dylan to get into an 0-2 count after hitting niggas with some nasty shit and for, you know, three straight balls. And it's like his pitch count get high. And his walks weren't that bad last year. But innings were getting longer and longer. If he can figure it out, you got a legitimate three. And then I feel like it would be enough to hold down the fort till Lance gets back in jail.
Yeah. He got 98, 99, so he needs to stop playing with motherfuckers when he got them 0-2 and just blow it by them. Fastball up high, grab some pine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. You know, he has them 0-2, he's coasting, and now he wants to start throwing some changeups, some curveballs in the dirt. Next thing you know, it's 3-2. We got a walk. We got another walk. Now we got a double, and he's just looking up. You know, like, like you said, Dylan Cease is the X factor. Everybody's going to point to Michael Kopech. I don't know what to expect out of Michael Kopech. This is going to be his first go around. Yeah. This is going to be his first go around as a starter. He only, how many innings did he get this spring? Like four max?
Four. Yeah.
Four. Yeah. You know, and then the last outing didn't go too well. Excuse me. So there's question marks, man.
I don't put too much into that because it's spring training. I think my biggest question mark will be just how many injuries. I mean, how many innings he threw last year?
Was it 70?
It was 69.1 innings thrown last year. So, and that was with them. My biggest issue with how they handled him last year is when he got that, was it a hamstring injury?
Yeah.
And like they completely put this nigga in bubble wrap after that. Yeah. And he would, because he has been pitching, he would get in situations where he was fucking up. And then Tony would either pull him too quickly or keep him in there too long. So my biggest question mark with him is how is he going to handle a full, you're a full-time starter. Can you do 100-plus innings for us?
Okay, so that segues into something that we don't, you know, have written down. But I'm thinking, what's a realistic number in your guys' eyes, innings-wise, for Michael Kopech this year, knowing everything we know and knowing how they treat him with kid gloves? What are you going to be happy with?
I was about to say 120 is probably my max. Yeah, and I would say that's probably why they didn't pitch him as much in spring training. Because if you start throwing him now, then he's gonna hit that innings limit a lot sooner than you want him. Cause like we said, like I said, the first episode, what do you do in the middle of a pennant race and he's actually rolling, but then he hits that inning limit?
Like how they did Strasburg.
Exactly.
Michael Kopech is the White Sox version of Patrick Williams. The talent is there. You just don't know if he's going to reach it because both of them get hurt. That to me is like Pat will show flashes. Kopech will show flashes. Then an injury comes. So we don't really know what you have in him. Now, I believe Kopech has more talent than Pat. I think Kopech's ceiling is higher than Pat. But to me, that's kind of like I know way more about Io than I do Patrick Williams. Yeah. And Patrick Williams has been in the league longer. And that's the same thing with Kopech. Like Kopech could be the Steven Strasburg. But is he gonna be on the field? And that was, you know, can you get the year that we got that they got from Strasburg the year they won the World Series? Can you at least get one of them out of him?
Yeah, I see that. I that's what I'm thinking. Like 110, if it's anywhere near 120, then I think some of them innings have to be in the playoffs. That's not gonna be through the full season, you know. Like that's not gonna be regular season. He can't be at 120 in the regular season, and then we trying to make an extended playoff push. Yeah. So like it's gonna be very interesting. That's why for me, like I'm extremely worried.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would your worry be?
On a scale of 1 to 10, where everything we have right now, I'm pretty much at a 9, and that's not like a panic 9. You're not gonna see me bitching on Twitter all the time, but just because there are question marks with Michael Kopech, so there's question marks with if Dylan Cease is now our number 2, right? Yeah. So. There's question marks with the number 2, if the number 2 can put it together, you know, because he has everything. But up here, and sometimes he lacks focus, and we know with the walks and the high pitch counts, the next thing you know, he's got 100 pitches through five.
Yeah,
so there's question marks with your number 2. Your number 3 is now Michael Kopech.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to almost treat him as a rookie because this is his first time starting, starting every fifth day. In a pennant race for a team that has aspirations to win it all. So, okay, so there's question marks with your 2. There's question marks with your 3. Now, your 4 is Dallas Keuchel. There's been question marks.
You know what's funny? I'm going to make a controversial take on this podcast.
Oh, shit.
I think Dallas Keuchel is going to have a fine season. I don't know why.
I think he's going to have a fine season.
I think we got one good year out of him during the
We got 10 good starts out of Dallas. Yeah. If Dallas can just be a 500 type of if he can give me like a 4.35 ERA, I can live with that.
Yeah. But honestly, Dallas is the way he's used. If Tony can wake up and realize, if Tony can wake up and realize, bro, he's not going to make it that third trip through the lineup. He's getting cooked, my nigga. So, like,
after the Tony second one,
quick hook. That's one guy who has to have a quick hook.
In the goddamn pen.
Exactly. So, that's why I think the Cueto signing for me, because, like, I'm with Mikey. I was at a 9, and the Cueto signing put it kind of like at an 8. Because for me, if it pans out right, you can still keep Johnny to eat some of those innings so you can extend Kopech into the playoffs. So, I was at a 9 with you, but I'm probably at an 8 right now. But it always comes back to what we always say is like, with championship teams, you don't have all of these ifs. Well, if this works, then this is going to happen. If this works, then that. But with the White Sox, we still, like, even though we're pretty confident in the offense, starting pitching-wise, we still have ifs. Like, because I'm with y'all on Dylan.
There's still ifs. There's still an if Lance Lynn is healthy for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
Like, there's still an if. So it's like
the biggest issue with this rotation, even when healthy, there's not a dog on this. On like you know, Max Scherzer, Game 7, my life on the line. I'm throwing Max out there.
Yeah,
Verlander. Yeah. I will put my life in
We don't even got to walk with Bueller. We don't got to walk with Bueller.
Right. Yeah, people want Gio to be that guy, but he hasn't. I think Gio's
a really good number two. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Gio's a number one. I think Lynn is a number one, but he's not a quote unquote ace. When I think of ace, I'm thinking, yo, I'm gonna give an example. Remember in 2004, where the Red Sox were down 0-3, they had guys. Pedro gonna give us some. Schilling gonna give us some. Wakefield, like they had, like the White Sox rotation still has to prove that. Now I got it at a six. Now, granted, I'm a very optimistic person. except for when it comes to the Chicago Bears, and my optimism with the Bears is shot. But for the most part, I'm an optimistic person. I try to look at things from a glass half full. But on a realistic, I think that remember last year, what was the biggest question with the White Sox last year? Depth, and we had random niggas stepping up. I would have never thought that fucking Who's mom? Brian Goodwin.
Billy Hamilton.
Yeah. Billy, my boy. But like I said, there's a difference between.
I mean, yes,
there's a difference between depth and position players, sure. And then pitching.
For sure,
because pitching, you only go into a season with five guys that you confident. This started, is true, you know.
But also, even last year, did we really think that Carlos Rodon was going to be as good as he was? Now, granted, his arm died in July, but I didn't even think we was going to get that out of him. So yeah. I feel like the White Sox have enough to at least get through this 2-month period. And if there was like, you know, other rotations in the league that like scared the shit out of me, then I'll be way more concerned. And I'm not somebody who thinks that, you know, Ethan Katz is a guru or some shit. I think a lot of White Sox fans kiss his ass when he needs to be, you know, prop him up when he needs to be. But I think he's a pretty damn good pitching coach. And I think he can find something out of these guys. And we have enough to at least survive. Now, it comes with a caveat. The offense needs to fucking show up.
Definitely, because you're short-handed. You need to put some runs up. Last year, the pitching staff carried us. Staff carried the offense a lot of the time, and the offense kind of, you know, the pitching staff bailed them out. This year, we need the bats to come alive early. Yeah. You know, it just is what it is, because this offense could put up 8-9 runs a game.
And on park, too.
Wait till summertime. Wait till summertime. They're going to be putting up crooked numbers every night.
It's a launch pad in like June and July or on the south side.
Yeah, so the offense, I'm with you, man. The offense has to show up. Giolito has to show up. I'm buying what they're selling, that he can have a young type. Yeah, I'm a Gio guy, and I fuck with people that who want to be here with us. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with people that when we were shitty, he was the centerpiece of that deal, and he, you know what I'm saying? He took that to heart. They had him ranked as the worst pitcher in the league. You know, so I fuck with guys that actually want to play for the White Sox. And Gio's not no bitch. Flat out. Gio gets on that mound. He got his, you know, psycho crazy look. And Gio competes. So I like that. But Gio has to this year. Gio's got to take that. He's got to end up becoming that horse. You know, he's got to get some of that Lance Lynn in him, where I'm going to take the ball. I'm going to shove it down their throats. I'm going to go 7. I'm going to go 8. You know, once his arm and their bodies are allowing it. But Gio's got to be the catalyst for this. If not, then I don't know. Then we're going to have to see a trade this year. We're going to have to see a Vaughn. Because the one thing with Kimbrel is that was our number one asset. It is what it is. Kimbrel was our number one asset. And, yes, AJ Pollock is a good player and he fits a role. But your number one asset should be able to bring in a little more. Yeah. So, like, that was the one piece we had, and Rick Hahn cashed it in for AJ Pollock. So now any further move is gonna pull from the immediate ball club that's playing on the south side.
And then also because our farm system sucks. So you gotta give them. So let's take a look more into the AL Central. Now, last year, the White Sox really had no competition. Like, I feel like, remember that big series against the Twins in like early May that everybody was hyping up and we beat the shit out of them? Like Yermin, after
the Yerminator.
Yeah, the Yerminator. Yaz had a big game. And we just beat the shit out of him the rest of the year. You know, the Gav walk off. We really didn't have any competition. Won the division by 13 games. Now, if you look at the Central this year, I think it's going to be a much more competitive division. Now, I still think the White Sox are going to win this division anywhere between 6 to even maybe 10 games. I think there's still a sizable gap between us and the next best team. But you got the Royals. I call them the number one prospect in baseball. You know,
bad boy.
Bad boy. He's cold. And they already – we did not have – that was the only team in the division we didn't have winning record against last year. The Royals beat us last year. So
Salvi kicked our ass.
Yeah, Salvi.
You know why? Salvi killed us. Modesty got on base.
Yep.
They stole bases. Benintendi got on base.
Merrifield.
Alex Gordon got on base. Merrifield. Yeah, people got on base, and they made it hard for us.
Yeah, and it's like, so you got to deal with them. Then you've got Cleveland. Even though Cleveland doesn't have an offense, you know, they just re-signed Jose Ramirez, which I was pissed about because I just wanted him to fucking leave. The offense is not a fear of mine, but they've got pitching. They're like the pitching masterclass. Like, they've got – niggas you ain't never heard of. Shane Bieber missed a great portion of last year. He's going to be back. So they got a nice rotation. So you're going to have to deal with them. But the others,
and they
got
in they just re-signed their closer, who I love, Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, Clase. He's
throwing 101, and it's like, if it's a one-run game, it's lights out.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. And so you got that. And then with Minnesota, of course, they signed Carlos Correa. Buxton is going to be healthy. They got Sonny Gray. And Detroit to me is like, the question for y'all is who's going to be the biggest foe in the AL Central. Now, the team – now, I hate all of these teams. Like, there was a time where I hated each one of these. I hated them early – that mid-2010s Royals teams. I hate Lorenzo Cain and them niggas to the fucking day.
Eric Hosmer,
all them motherfuckers. So, like, I hate equal every team pretty much equally, but there's something about the Twins that just brings the anger out of me. But as far as who I'm more concerned about, I'm concerned about the one number one foe to me is going to be Detroit. I really like what Detroit is selling. They've got a good team. They've got some prospects coming up. Two of their big guys in their farm system going to be coming up this year. They just traded for Austin Meadows, who's going to be under contract for 3 years. This is a good Casey Mize. This is second or third season now. Second full season.
Second full season.
They've got and then they signed Javi. To me, this is going to be a team that's going to be the annoying one who I feel I'm buying on them being the second team in the division, who I think will probably give us the most game. But who do y'all think will be the biggest foe for the Sox in the Central?
I got to agree. I'm going to go with Detroit because I think that's a young, scrappy team that's actually fighting for something, you know. I mean, KC, I think KC is still probably a year away from being the team to really give us some competition. And I agree. I also agree when you say we'll probably still win the division by, I'll lowball them to say 5 games, but they'll still have a comfortable lead by the end of the season. But I think a team like Detroit with the young pieces they have and then the vets they're starting to add around them, that's going to be a team that I could see surprising us because I know they have Minnesota projected to win 81 games, but I think I wouldn't be shocked if the Tigers had closer to 81 than Minnesota.
I'm going to pay Tigers in for about 84. I'm going high.
84?
Yeah.
What? That's what they got Vegas for. What Vegas has them for. I think the Tigers and the Royals are gonna beat up on each other. I think they're gonna go at it. They might not be able to fuck with us yet, but I think they're gonna try to assert their dominance as, hey, we're the next team coming up. So, like you said, the Royals gave us the most goal last year. I think it could be a coin toss. Honestly, I think the Royals are gonna be really, really sneaky. You got Salvi. You got Bobby Witt Jr. I think it will be the Tigers, but I would not be surprised if the Royals are ahead of them. I think Minnesota, if they start out flat, I think Carlos Correa might get traded. Like,
yeah, they might sell. I was just thinking they might be early sellers.
It might not work, and they might be able to flip Sonny Gray again, and you know, like. I think I'm not buying Minnesota, and unfortunately, I love Byron Buxton, but I'm not buying he's going to be healthy either. Like,
he's a baseball AD.
Yeah.
He is, because everything is saying, "Oh, Byron Buxton, AL MVP if healthy."
Yeah,
you know, I haven't seen it.
this Minnesota team reminds me of the White Sox the year we went and got David Robertson, Todd Frazier, and everybody was like, yeah, and everybody was like, oh yeah, we about to compete, and then we were Alex trash. Rios. Right, and we were trash, and then like, yeah. So that's what I could see happening with the Twins. Like, starting out, you got the hype, but once I saw the way Correa's contract was set up with the two outs, it's like, yeah, bro, this is a stopgap until
it's really
James. They're just trying to stay competitive.
Yeah, so like, and that's never a good recipe.
They're literally, like you said, man, perfect analogy. They stuck in the middle. They don't know if they want to rebuild. They don't know if they want to compete for the Central.
The worst place to be in sports is in the middle. Fucking middle. the fucking worst.
Yeah, the Chicago Bears know all about that.
Yeah. I don't think about them, man. It's too early for me to get my blood pressure.
But
out.
Yeah, you know, I think that's where they're at. They're stuck in the middle, man. So I think the Tigers too, man. I think to start the season, we have to really be careful with these teams that are full of youth. These Seattle Mariners, the Detroit Tigers, in a season like this where some of them guys, Julio Rodriguez, you know, Jared Kelenic, like all of these young guys, like, okay, this is their first time opening day starting, and they don't know the difference between a shortened spring training, a regular spring training. They don't know the difference.
They're going to be going hard out the gate.
They're just going to go out there balls to the wall, and you got to watch out for those teams. Those are the type of teams that are going to try to ambush a White Sox, a Blue Jays. They're going to try to catch somebody that's got a lot of potential and a lot of you know, we can't come in the season with a lot of dip on our chip because those two teams are going to try to come at us. And, you know, we're starting the first two games with no TA.
Well, it's a good question. You talk about putting too much dip on your chip. I think this fan base, a lot of them, the White Sox fan base is a little bit too cocky. Let's relax. This is baseball. Baseball will humble the fuck out of you if you're smelling yourself too much. But what do y'all think the teams mentalities, because from interviews I've been hearing, I feel like they learned their lesson last year. Like, I feel like what happened to the White Sox is what's gonna happen to the Bulls in this upcoming series. Where they're gonna have to take their ass whooping like a man. Like, the Bulls gonna get beat up by either Milwaukee or Philly, and they're gonna get beat up bad, but it's gonna help you in the long run. I think that ass whooping by Houston, like, I think TA said, like, yo, he said, I don't care about making the playoffs. It's about winning the championship. Like, we saw what the gap was between us. So I think that mentality, we think the mentality of the team is going to be coming into this year.
I think Tony is going to be the reason why we're going to be a different team this year. Having somebody like that in the clubhouse, he's not going to let that shit slide.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was the wake-up call they needed. I know we were thinking more dramatic, like ALCS loss or some shit like that. But to get out there after you come, like we heard, you know, Liam, Giolito, TA coming in the last season, you know, we the favorites, World Series of bust, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
talking
too much. Yeah.
And you get smoked. And then, like you said, you've seen a much more focused attitude this spring training. So, I think it's definitely a benefit to get your ass beat like that.
You got to get your ass beat. And, you know, before we got to go to the next one, where you were talking about, Mikey, with the teams that might catch you off guard, it's the Mariners to me are going to be the baseball version of the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they've got a nice little young core. Like, Minnesota's not going to beat Phoenix, but they can probably pull out a game, even not even scare them in a game five or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a team where, like, they don't know the difference. They just out here playing ball and being young, and they got so close hungry to the playoffs last year. They hungry. So you got to watch out for that. I agree with that. Now, we gave our predictions last episode of what we think the record is going to be. Now, of course, all the holes that we wanted to be filled have been filled. You have any adjusted predictions? Are you staying with your win total? Is there anything you're going to change? I'm personally going up two games. I'm going with the full 97. I'm going 97 wins.
I jumped out the window and say 98 to 100. So I'll probably say 96. I'll say 96 and we still win the division comfortably.
Yeah, I'll say 95 wins.
Okay.
95 wins. I'm gonna stay right there. Just because, like I said, now we taking out between 6 to 8 games of no Lance Lynn. And when Lance is on the mound, I'm pretty comfortable that we're going to win those games. Yeah. Like, you know, that's the type of pitcher we need. You know, when we got Giolito out on the mound, we got to feel like, yeah, we should win this game. You know, so Lance brought that stability. He's a veteran. He's a World Series champion. So
when Lance is on the mound, you're a little deeper onto your couch.
Yeah, for sure.
You're more relaxed when you're drinking your beer. When Caesar's on the mound, you up here looking like Pat Riley, like, all right, nigga, like trying to fuck the strike zone.
Exactly. Know? So if he's missing, if Lance misses eight starts, it gotta go 4-4, you know. You gotta get, you know, you gotta say go 4-4, you know, then that'll still keep you on pace for that over 91.5, still keep you between that, you know, the 92 to 90, you know, 97, 98 range. But, you know, like we said, the Tigers are gonna be tough, the Royals are gonna be tough. I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Twins, they have a propensity to get under our skin and win games that they shouldn't, you know. Who the fuck is the right fielder, man? That fucking teed off on Giolito twice. Lead off home run, then the next AB lead off home. He's a lefty.
Kepler? I know. No,
it's another lefty. I believe he's like of German descent. Fuck, I had him on my MLB The Show Diamond.
I'll tell you in 2 seconds.
You
say he played left field?
Right field.
Right field. Oh, Max Kepler.
Yeah, that's what I was
Max Kepler. Oh, yeah, Max Kepler. Yeah, Max Kepler. Yeah, Max Kepler. You know, there's gonna be close games. It's baseball. It's baseball. Yeah. So, I'll stick with that. I'll stick with that 95. That 95. And I think I had him out in the DS. We gonna see how that goes. If we had another pitcher, I think I might have him advancing.
I still, like I said, I'm not going to be happy anything less than a World Series appearance. Anything less than that, I'm going to be disappointed. But I do think they'll at least get to the ALCS, and, you know, then it'd probably be a toss-up between us and Toronto, you know. Toronto's the hot team, and this is why, you know, me and Mike, we've been going back and forth about this. I don't doubt Toronto's talent. They just seem like the flavor of the month to me. They remind me of the love that San Diego was getting these last two seasons. Now, granted, San Diego got hit by a lot of injuries. It's baseball. That shit can happen there too. And I just got to see it because I feel like they're in a real tough division. I think, you know, even though the Yankees didn't have the offseason that their fans wanted, the Yankees going to be there. They're going to be competitive. I think the Red Sox are going to be. And we keep forgetting about Tampa. So I think they're going to have a tough role, but I do think it's probably going to come down to us too. I feel like that's going to be where everybody, you know, all the national media heads are going to be planning to be in Chicago and Toronto in October. So I think we're going to be at least in the final four. So that's what I got for that.
Toronto's deep, man. Toronto, I will say that. Like I said, outside of Houston, I would probably give the leg up to Houston's rotation just because they playoff battle tested.
Yeah, count out Houston.
Yeah, you know, Luis Garcia got starts last year in the playoffs against us. Iraquiti, Framber, you know, that's Germ's boy. He's a beast. But, Toronto on paper, man, they're stacked. They got Springer. They got Teoscar Hernandez. You got Matt Chapman. You got the two young young bucks and Vlad and Bo.
BGO.
They got a whip, and then when you go and they put up home runs, they led the league last year in home runs.
But so also, what I'm saying, I think teams looking at us the same way. I think we're looking at it because it's our team, and like,
we
see the inside of it. Like, I feel like there's outside people looking at us, like, yeah, they got Abreu, they got Jimenez, they got Robert.
The Blue Jays are getting the love this year that we were getting last year.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, if you look at every press article, everything ESPN, they got the Blue Jays. Last year, everybody was picking us, and we've seen how it happens. At the end of the day, like you said, they weren't in the playoffs last year. We were. Yeah. They need to get in there.
Still, like you said, we still getting the love. Like you said, MLB never be on our dick. Like,
yeah, but like you know, but it's like you said. Oh my God, the Celtics are killing us.
What's the score? I need
11-4. It's a Vooch. Oh, okay. I'm gonna turn this shit off. I'm about to have my girl. We gonna watch Love Is Blind after this.
Yeah, fuck the Vooch. They already clinched, nigga. Fuck the
Vooch. This shit is terrible.
I just keep Zach's knee healthy. I don't even know why the fuck he playing.
Well, because regardless, he gonna get a week off.
Well, he'd get one week off.
But I mean, if you look, he out today too. If you say Jose Berrios, Kevin Gausman, Kikuchi, who else? They got another two.
My man,
Alex Manoah. I love him.
Manoah,
young arm. He's like a baby Lance Lynn. Like, if they could put it together,
Hong Jung, what's his name? I don't want to fuck his name.
Hong Jung Ryu.
Hong Jung Ryu. Hong Jung Ryu.
But they got a
perfect. We be rocking him. We be rocking, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I think we're gonna rock Eduardo Rodriguez. Yeah. That was another signing that the Tigers picked up on. Then he's starting opening day for them. So yeah. I think we can, like I said, all right-handed hitting. We're gonna rock him. But if they could put it together, I like their rotation, man.
I think that's a perfect segue. With this podcast, this is a bi-weekly podcast. We're pretty much going to record every three series. You know, that's pretty much what we're going to go with. So I want to preview the first three series of this this season. And I don't know why the fuck my internet, and I'm internet with this fucking browser isn't showing the fucking.
I got you. It's going to be Detroit.
Detroit. It's
going to be Seattle for the homestand. And then we got two with the Rays. So a two-game series at the crib with the Rays. Okay. And then we go into Cleveland. So
that's too tough. You're coming out the gate.
Serious.
Yeah, like I said, with the Young Bucks. Yeah.
Somebody said, because Seattle, like, you know how with the NBA, we got our league pass teams. Like, Seattle's the team that's going to be on my MLB
pass.
And people forget, Seattle still has two of the top 15 prospects in baseball. So they got a young squad, and they got people in the pipeline that's ready to come up. So that's going to be a team that's really interesting. And you just signed Robbie Ray. So, depending on how those pitching matchups line up, that's going
to
be.
And that might be a team that might be willing to part with one of them prospects or with somebody, you know, somebody in this farm system to try to go and get another, you know, arm. They might be in the Frankie Montas, you know, talks later on in the year. The Braves might be in that later on in the year. I will never count out the Mets with Steve Cohen, you know. So, we got competition trying to get a – you know, another starting pitcher, but
And then you got Cleveland, tough. You got Cleveland, Minnesota, KC. There's a lot of division there. So let's start with the first series, opening series this weekend in Detroit. And of course, the first matchup is going to be Lucas Giolito. He'll be taking on Eduardo Rodriguez. Like you said, we rocked him. He was 13-8 last year, but this is the opening matchup. Now, Detroit hasn't announced all their starters for the week, but the White Sox have Saturday. They will be putting Dylan Cease out there, and Sunday morning, well, for the West Coast, Sunday morning it will be Michael Kopech out there. I would not be shocked if the White Sox lose 2 out of 3 because TA is not playing it. I can't wait to see the overall panic from White Sox Twitter that's going to happen. I'm telling niggas right now, I'm not even glancing at the fucking record until July. It's just too. I'm not saying these games aren't important, because every game in baseball is important. These games are gonna matter when the season comes. Like, damn, we shouldn't have tricked off that series in April. Personally, I'm not gonna be losing my shit before July. It's too many goddamn games. But I wouldn't be shocked if the White Sox got off to a little rocky start. I think we started like 4-4 before we even really won a series. How do y'all see this series going?
That wouldn't surprise me, but I also think this year, you know, Eloy didn't die, so you know, we don't have to worry about a funeral on opening day, so we'll be straight.
All those memes with the red batting gloves.
That shit was ridiculous, but no, I think coming out the gate with Detroit is a good thing for us, because you know, this was a team who we ended the season with bad blood last year, so even though people are, you know, picking us to run away with our division, you gotta set the tone out the gate. And so I think I said this is a nice young team that's they gonna put up a fight. And so even with TA out those first two games, this is gonna be an opportunity for the rest of your lineup to say, hey, you know, last year we really struggled when we didn't have TA. And don't get me wrong, he is great. And I think we all see that he embraces that role, but you need other guys to step up. So I'm gonna be looking, like you said, the first couple of weeks, I'm not really concerned, because that 50 game season really spoiled a lot of people. So we were acting like this the NFL, and like, you know, oh well, shit, if you lose two games in a row, you damn near, like, it's like losing seven and you almost out of contention and all that shit. So now it's back to that slow race, that marathon,
that slow grind, that marathon.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy to see. I mean, it's still, for me, it's still a process getting back into it, because we were so, everything was just moving. And even now, we still, like, this is year three without a normal spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically like only year two for this team in general. Like, and I feel I feel like they're going to take a different approach to it. I think they're more of a veteran team now. Like, I feel like, I don't think we're going to get any notorious Tony lineups on Sunday, mainly because we're a much deeper team than we were last year.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit, they got all that energy, new additions, and they go out there and take 2 out of 3 from us without TA. I wouldn't be shocked at that.
You know how he's going to be extra.
Now, I can see it now. Big little, big little home run in the bottom of the eighth, like on that Saturday game. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked.
I'm gonna go with the opposite, man. I see us taking 2 out of 3. See this is a perfect opportunity for the favorites of the AL Central to flex their muscle and remind people who are the favorites.
Still, out
you know,
division,
especially man. especially the Tigers, because that's who everybody is pegging to be. You know, the toughest competition and next up in the AL Central. So, like you said, I think I think game one matches up perfect with us. It's playing into our hands. You got Eduardo Rodriguez, a lefty on the mound, who has some good stuff, but he's making his first start with a new ball club. We're going righty heavy. Eloy, I'm going to call it right now. Eloy is going to hit a home run on opening day.
How many home runs for Eloy? Because I saw a question today, like over or under 32 home runs. I'm going over.
I'm going 35. As long as he's healthy. Yeah.
Didn't he have like 33 his rookie year?
Yes. Yeah. So as long as he's healthy. So I think with the position players healthy, all our position players are healthy. It's not like TA, you know, is hurt. He just a 2-game suspension. I think we pull out 2 or 3 from the Tigers. I say the game that we lose is the Dylan Cease game. It's gonna be the Dylan Cease game.
We talking about the Hobby home run. That's gonna happen. He gonna start struggling. A big 6-run inning home run from Hobby, and it's over.
In the fifth inning, right? I think, and then you know you got the Mariners. The homestand. You know they're gonna unveil our 2021 pennant.
First time we got a nice little banner rising. We ain't had one of them in a minute. TA be back. You know, he's jazzed up. And I love them comments. He said, I don't care about Michigan. He said, I don't give a fuck about Detroit. I'm looking forward to Chicago. And people forget, we had the best home record in the American League last year. And that's why I feel like home field is very important this season. I want them to be a top 2 seed. You need to get you the home field. So niggas got to come to the South Side in October and deal with that. And I think we're going to do really good on this home stand. I think we're going to win both of these series. I think we're going to go 4-2 on these two. I think we're going to come out the game for these two.
Yeah, I like that. And then you got Tampa Bay, and that could go any which way. You know, I'm interested in seeing this Tampa Bay team. You know, we're going to get, you know, I'm going to see a full season of Wander.
Yeah, I like Wander.
A Wander and, you know, a Rosarena, but they're down. They just traded Meadows. They're down Tyler Glass now, you know, so.
How long is he out for?
He's probably out until middle of this season.
UCL surgery, right?
Yeah, but he had that like in July. Yeah, he had that late last year. So, he's probably out through the majority of the first half of the season. So, yeah. I think we could take these first couple series against these young teams. But like I said, caution, beware. Like they're gonna come out hungry.
Yeah, no, I can see 4-2, especially I think the series with Seattle, it'll be scrappy, but I think we could sweep them and then split with Tampa. But like, you know, I guess I'm looking at Seattle's roster, you know, they traded for Adam Frazier. You still got JP Crawford there, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be a team that's going to be able to score.
And it's Eugenio Suarez,
it's a fast team too. Like they get on base, they take bases. So it's going to be, they got Billy Hamilton, you know, brought him back.
Yeah.
Out there, you as another runner, another more speed.
We're gonna see McGuire behind the plate in that series. I think that's gonna be the series we see McGuire back there. I think Grandal catches maybe the first 3 games of the season, and then I think that first game, that home opener, we might see McGuire behind the home plate because, like you said, that is a very fast team, and then that'll be Grandal DHing.
Yeah,
that's just my prediction.
Yeah.
I agree with that, man. I'm excited to get this going. I'm excited for baseball, man, and, you know, to watch all this. It's 2 TV time here because you got the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Starting. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to that, to have that going on, man. We're going to check in with y'all in 2 weeks, probably like in the middle of the first road trip, first extended road trip of the year, where they'll be going to Cleveland and Minnesota. If you're a White Sox fan, we are your guide through this season. Hopefully it's a long season and we'll still be recording around my birthday, which is like October 26th when the World Series starts, man. So as usual, man, you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChairScott, at OctoberZonte, at Junior_Salido. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. If you are watching this, that means you are a Patreon subscriber. We fuck with you. We appreciate that. For those of you who listen to Bald On Live, we did not record this week, but me and Dante will be back next week, and tune in because I've got something for Mr. LeBron Raymond James. Okay.
I've got something. Nigga might call every LeBron hater he know and let them get their shit off.
He's gonna top the Aaron Rodgers. He's gonna top the Aaron Rodgers ceremony. No.
And then I'm gonna double back because my show on wisdom. And we doing every week because the playoffs are back. So season two of I'm Not Gonna Hold You, we're going through the NBA Finals, NBA Playoffs. I'm going to have some guests for that. Look out for that. Of course, Cinema with the Guys is out right now. And my brother Cinema with Guys breaking down Moon Knight. If you've not seen episode two, she was fucking crazy. So
we're going to tap in.
Yeah, you're going to love that shit. We're going to peep that shit. We're going to talk about that shit this week. And we back. I'll let y'all niggas in 2 weeks, man, as we talk about first couple series for the White Sox. We out.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.